comes right up.
Okay.
And then,
should we open them all and then?
I just tried it before you came in, but you're welcome. I just grabbed the first slide. I didn't go through.
It's okay. So now I'm making sure. Yeah. Also to the left, click.
Yeah.
That's okay. Kind of nice that you can see it so well.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And look, I can't spill my water.
Did
you spill your water last time?
Because it was on an angle. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Thanks for taking time during the lunch break to come in and hear our panel today. My name is Jenny Higgins, and I'm so excited that these folks have decided to come all the way to San Diego to share their work. I wanted to say, unfortunately, Roger Ingham, who's one of our panelists, is in the UK and could not at the last minute, could not make it out here. I will be doing a very brief presentation on his behalf, although I'll be much less charming without a British accent, but I will try to represent him as best as I can. So I wanted to give you a heads up about that. Just a note on procedure, I think after each presenter, we'll take just a few clarifying questions, but we'll save the longer discussion and Q&A period till the last person has spoken. And I wanted to just very briefly, by way of introduction, say that this panel idea came from another panel at the conference 2 years ago in Boston, when we were focusing on pleasure in research related to sexual reproductive health and HIV/AIDS, especially relating to contraceptive use or lack thereof, condom use, lack thereof, my development of microbicides and some other things. And the panel was excellent, but definitely left a lot of unanswered questions about how to put some of this work into practice in our programs and policies. So I think that's what we were hoping to achieve with this panel today, although certainly I think we'll also be highlighting more research in this area. And I also just wanted to use this moment to plug the Sexuality Task Force, which sponsors this panel and is available to all people throughout APHA, regardless of your section affiliation. We did meet yesterday, but we sort of have a loose email listserv going all year. So if you're interested in sexuality issues within APHA, come up and see me afterwards, and I'll get you on the list. So with that, I'd love to introduce Sarah Degnan Kambu, who will talk about moonlight sex. Please welcome her for me.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's wonderful to see so many people interested in pleasure and interested in having a discussion about how it's a very practical topic, especially in the public health domain. I'm from the International Center for Research on Women. We're based in Washington, D.C., and basically we conduct research across the world in health, economics, demography. Our mission is to empower women, advance gender equality, and fight poverty. And so a discussion around sex workers and their narratives of intimacy and pleasure, and how really understanding sex workers as women and their rights to pleasure and their need, their basic human need for intimacy and pleasure in their lives is part of that empowering women and promoting gender equality. So let me start by introducing you to the Festival of Love Project. It's based in Rajahmundry in Andhra Pradesh in India. The Saksham Project is the project platform for the Festival of Love Project. This is a program that CARE India has been running for the past six and a half years now, funded by the Gates Foundation, and provides a full spectrum of services to female and transgender sex workers working in the Rajahmundry area. They provide services to about 1,000 sex workers. And at the time that the Festival of Love Project was conceived, we were working with CARE on another project called the Inner Spaces, Outer Faces Initiative that my colleague Doris Bartel will talk to you about at the end of this program. And we were wondering how we might be able to use that methodology with the sex worker population in Rajahmundry. So we have a participatory action research project, and the goal is to reduce the vulnerability of sex workers to HIV infection, stigma, and violence. I just wanted to touch on a few pieces in terms of our project philosophy so that you know where we're situated on the spectrum of beliefs around sex work and working with sex workers. You can read through the various bullets as I'm speaking, but I did want to emphasize the last bullet that we know from epidemiology, but also in working with the sex worker population, that while public health professionals have been very successful in introducing 100% condom protection or other kinds of promotional interventions for safer sex in client relations, that sex workers remain at risk for HIV in their regular relations, their intimate relations. And so we were very specifically looking at this dimension of risk as we were working with this population in Rajahmundry. And a continuation, we wanted to try and stand the paradigm on its head. In other words, we were really interested in getting away from mainstream public health philosophy, which is all very, very good, very grounded in terms of best practice, but we wanted to get beyond that narrow focus and really begin to understand women as they view risk and vulnerability. So please note the second bullet. We went into this project saying, okay, let's focus on beauty and pleasure, sisterhood and community, because this can only enhance our understanding of the reality of these women and what their desires and aspirations may be, and can inform how we might tweak the public health interventions that are necessary. And the final bullet maybe I should just highlight as well, that for ICRW, and I think for a lot of researchers who are interested in participatory research, research is a parallel process of social change. So in doing this research, it's completely done in close collaboration with the sex worker community. They have an ethics review. They're directing the research. They're there for the interviews and the exercises, and they're part of the analysis and the reporting out. A few thoughts on our research approach. Grounded theory, in that it's very inductive. We're interested in understanding the data and building our hypothesis from that data. And I just like to point out the intersubjective knowledge. So it's not so much ICRW Care India coming to this community of sex workers and saying, we understand what the factors are that are increasing your risk and vulnerability. It's more of saying, this is what the numbers are saying. These are our concerns. What is your understanding? What is it that we should be exploring together? And, of course, combined with that, we have a feminist ethnographic method approach. At ICRW, we understand feminist to mean really a focus on women's lives, activities, and experiences. There's a lot that goes along with the feminist movement and theories and things, but for us, really the feminist lens is looking at power and power relations and how those change constantly within people's lives and the differences of people who are responding to different kinds of power relations at any particular point in time and trying to understand those. So to say very generally what it was we were trying to address, the mainstream public health response really is looking at risk management and risk reduction for all of the right reasons. But quite often it's casting sex workers as rational self-governors of risk. As a brothel community, please adopt a 100% condom utilization program. If all of you say no to sex without a condom, there's strength in numbers, you'll be able to implement this policy. If you have a different, difficult client, negotiate yourself out of that particular interaction, etc. That assumes a lot of capacity and negotiation skill on the part of the sex worker. It does fail to explore the issues of sexual pleasure and agency associated with sex work. When I give this talk, a lot of people ask about that sex worker community, and maybe I could just say very briefly that this is a very empowered group of women, that they are highly educated. More than half of them are read and write Telugu, which is the local language in Andhra Pradesh, and quite often they are the main breadwinner in their household. So they are making gifts to men, if you will. They're quite economic empowered. But all the same, the fact that we're not addressing sexual pleasure and agency within sex work, we're missing an ingredient in terms of how we can be more effective in HIV prevention. And so there really is a need to enter a sex-positive discourse as we're talking about HIV prevention. So why is that? Well, I've drawn very heavily from Carol Vance, who is just a wonderful thinker and has done so much around the issues of sex and sexuality, and has been truly a visionary in many respects. And Carol will say that as a social site, as a site of interaction between people, sexuality is a site of restriction, oppression, and danger, as well as a domain of exploration, pleasure, and agency. So it's that double-edged sword. There's both sides to that coin. If we address sex as pleasure, then we're ignoring the social context that sex takes place within. And so the patriarchy, if I can take a feminist phrase, those power relations, the gender-powered relations that so often dominate in sexual interactions, is ignored if we look at it only as pleasure. On the other hand, if we're only talking about sexual violence or sexual oppression, we're ignoring the fact that people do experience pleasure and intimacy through sexual interaction and that they do have choice in many instances. So according to Vance, when pleasure occupies a smaller public space and a larger guilty private space, individuals do not become empowered. In fact, they are cut from the source of their own strength and energy. So what happens when that private space becomes smaller and smaller and people face the stigma, the social stigma that's associated with their profession? The issues of sex and sexuality are often associated with silence, shame, and stigma, and as this sex worker who's part of the performance troupe of Nari Shaksham in Rajamundry is showing. At times, this closing in, this social closing in, pushes people to the extent of even suicide and not being able to deal with all of the shame and stigma and silence that surrounds the issues. So if I had an objective for today's talk, it's to ask you to listen to women's voices. If we had a frame of how you saw perhaps sex workers coming through the door, I'm asking you just to push out the corners a bit and begin to hear what these women are saying about intimacy and pleasure in their lives. So I have three narratives for you, all of them very, very lovely, and please, I'll read them to you. I go to the hotel with my lover. I just love sex in the shower. When we are in the shower, it is very cold, so hugging each other gives so much warmth. I have no words to express how wonderful it feels. While the water is flowing down our bodies, we hug and kiss each other. When we are under the shower, the desire for each other and for sex is very high. When I feel his hands on my body, it sends shivers of excitement on my entire body. So this is a 29-year-old brothel-based sex worker who was describing sexual relations with her regular partner, someone who she considers a lover, not a client, someone who is with her on and on and on, and this is the kind of intimacy and pleasure that she derives from that relationship. Rain sex. When I first heard rain sex, when she was discussing, I thought it was outside in the monsoon or something, but it was a shower. Nude sex. When my lover comes to my house, it is a wonderful time. The moment he comes to my house, he takes off all his clothes and some of mine too, but surely opens my blouse first of all. So the time he is in my house, he remains nude, not only during sex, but even otherwise, while having meals, talking on the phone, chatting all the time. Both of us give so much pleasure to each other through our bodies. And in another part of this woman's narrative history of her time with this particular lover, she talks of his love for her breasts and that he likes to hold her breasts as they're talking or chatting. And she says, when he leaves, it's my breasts that miss him most of all. This is a traditional sex worker. She's older. She's in my generation. And a traditional sex worker is a caste-based sex worker in Andhra Pradesh. In other words, she's born into a caste and is trained and is revered as a sex worker. So there's a whole hierarchy that we won't get into today, but I'd like you to understand the differences in the people who are being quoted. Sex in the moonlight. Moonlight sex. I used to have sex in moonlight with my husband many years ago. When there was no one around, we used to put a cot in the courtyard, lie on it, and watch the stars. There were some plants also in our courtyard. In the evening, my husband would get some jasmine flowers and sweets. We used to spread the jasmine flowers on the cot and keep the sweets aside. Then in the moonlight, we would chat a bit, have some sweets, have sex, then eat some sweets, chat a bit, and have sex. It used to go on and on while we enjoyed nature. She pauses here. She's very pensive. Before coming to this trade, I had all these experiences with my husband. He is no more now. I've had so many encounters in my life, but no experience has been better than this. It gave a lot of pleasure and was better than anything else. This is the most fresh memory of my life. This is a 43-year-old woman who's a brothel-based sex worker. So why is it important to listen to those women? Well, I hope your frames bumped out a little bit. When we were working with both the ICRW staff in country and with the Care India staff who were working with the sex workers, and I think even while we were working with the sex workers and doing this work, their frames bumped out a bit. Okay, they began to see the sex workers that as women they could talk about pleasure. They didn't have to rattle off all of the best practices about harm reduction and safe sex and these kinds of things. So we felt that by including sexual pleasure in HIV prevention programs, we're really going to be able to help promote adoption of safer behavior. And programs that have linked use of condoms to enhance sensitivity and sensuality have experienced a rise in condom use. Now, we were basing this on work that was done earlier by CARE and other researchers in a project called the Pleasure Project. Don't know if you're familiar with the work that was done in South Asia. CARE was one of the original pioneers of the Pleasure Project. And so we were trying to take it, if you will, to the next level. In terms of the kind of information that we were gathering to incorporate within the interventions. But I'm not going to have impact data for you for another year and a half. What I wanted to show you was a methodology to get at this kind of information that could be very helpful to you. So in its stead, I've got some information from the Pleasure Project where they've been able to do end-line or market surveys. So you can see that PSI in Cambodia changed the marketing for its number one plus male condom by adding a water-based lubricant and then coming out with messages that, yes, talked about safe sex or safer sex, but also emphasized pleasure. So increases pleasure for the penetrator, diminishes vaginal and anal friction for the receptor, increases the durability of the condoms, etc. And within the first 6 months, the sales of the lube and the condom increased by 500%. So that was successful. It's hard to, through research, show a one-to-one relationship, but it's an indication that this was successful marketing messaging. And then I thought this was just brilliant because years ago, when I was working in Togo, we were introducing the female condom. And everyone was complaining. We were working with nurses in healthcare centers. They were all complaining that it sounded like a washing machine. And so, because we were all trying it, you know, to be able to talk about it with that presence. And here, now it's an erotic accessory. I just thought this was brilliant. So female sex workers in Sri Lanka encouraging the male clients to insert it and having that as part of foreplay and increasing the pleasure sort of as a sex toy. So very interesting experiences from the South Asia region. And for me, the nicest way to summarize, you know, the more mainstream harm reduction kinds of interventions with the role of pleasure and understanding intimacy and pleasure in the whole program was this quote by the Saksham program manager from CARE, who said, "Promoting condoms alone will not lead us anywhere. We have to recognize sex workers as women like us." So I'd like to show you the performing troupe of the sex workers from Rajarundi. And I thank CARE India, the staff members of the project, as well as the Nari Saksham, and a couple of colleagues who've presented some nice inputs to our report, and the Mac AIDS Fund, All About Beauty, for the support of this project. Thanks very much.